The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Good evening. It's monsoon season here in El Salvador, and even though the markets are closed as of this recording, there's only thunder, no bombs falling anywhere in the world. I can hardly believe it. This is the Living by the Sword radio show with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers. Lots and lots in store for you tonight. My hometown Iowa girl, Carrie Lake, stood her ground. The Democrats were in such a huff at the House Foreign Affairs Committee hearing. She's following Donald Trump's mandate to eviscerate the voice of America. It had turned to the dark side. I wish they'd come back and broadcast again on shortwave, something that was never mentioned in the entire three-hour hearing. We did take out Logan, the famous air-sending search and rescue dog, to the Chichontepeque San Vicente volcano. We only searched 1% of the mountain, but we were unable to locate any trace of the disappeared professor, the beloved Kiki Peña. Now, I have climbed a volcano, sat in a hot spring, and toured a coffee plantation, just not under the leisurely circumstances that I'd hoped. Do you know who lives by the sword? I'll tell you, the cafeteros, the coffee farmers, the macheteros who carry a machete day and night. I'll tell you all about it. You know, they criticized Carrie Lake about the broadcasts in Albanian, funny to me. But we'll have interludes tonight by the famed British Albanian artist Dua Lipa.
I'd rather die than have to live in a storm like
the preachers are pissed at me for letting the lovely Albanian drop 7 or 8 GDs on the show. I can feel the vibrations in the cosmosphere. I can sense the disturbance in the force when their delicate frocked sensibilities are sullied, when their petticoats are ruffled underneath of their cassock, or when they get hot and bothered underneath of their canonical clerical collar. So let me just respond to the British Albanian, who masquerades in moonlights as a Peli Roja. The Peli Roja is furious. You know, Job's wife said, curse God and die. And you know what makes a jilted lady madder than a wet hen? A chance to love again. A legitimate, a viable, a qualified and bona fide opportunity. Oh, the very idea of a real knight in shining armor coming from a faraway land is infuriating. It's the type of thing that they could get very, very angry at God about. We will return to that subject cyclically as the show goes on, because Dua Lipa, it's her favorite thing to talk about. But right now, let's go to Carrie Lake, a lady on the warpath, if I ever saw one. She was actually very composed as the scathing attacks came in from the Democratic side of the aisle. Just bam, 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 one after another, ad hominem attacks. You are a disinformation artist. You are a propagandist. You are a puppet with a bully pulpit for the Trump presidency. How dare you lecture us about propaganda? I listened to them all, and it was painful. Russia says VOA is propaganda. China says don't listen to Voice of America. Those are the same things that you're now saying, accused the Democrats on the left side of the American aisle. Let me address that point by point. The whole reason that Carrie Lake is heading the Voice of America is because she's not the governor of Arizona, because that was stolen from her in 2020, along with the theft of the Trump presidency. By the way, my Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, old as he is still in the arena landing haymakers, and this week published the smoking gun of 2020 election fraud, widespread and brazen, as well as the weaponization of the Department of Justice to go after people like the January Sixers and yours truly. This is where Grassley's decades of experience as a senator paid off, because he knew every lever to pull to pry the classified files out of encrypted servers in Langley. Yeah, well, he's got the goods now, including the names of the perpetrators. And you know what? Some of the DOJ is going down. A whole new round of firings this week. There was a round of firings that began in January, right after the pardons of the J6ers. Some of the most nauseous and notorious figures in the Department of Justice went down immediately, but now some of their underlings are being deposed. This is from Michael Dorgan's article at Fox News. Prosecutors tied to January 6th Capitol riot cases fired by Justice Department. It's the latest in a string of firings as Bondi looks to reshape the agency. I'll read you the end of the article first, because it's a hell of a parting shot. The group is also reportedly reviewing the actions of Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg and New York Attorney General Letitia James, who brought civil and criminal cases against Trump and his family. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Now, they saved this for second to last. In February, Attorney General Bondi ordered a review of the federal prosecution of Donald Trump and launched a broad internal audit aimed at realigning the Justice Department's priorities in line with the White House agenda. That effort included the creation of a weaponization working group tasked with examining perceived politicized justice across federal law enforcement. So you see, Carrie Lake is not alone in gutting an agency and wondering if any part of it at all can be salvaged. That's what Pam Bondi is up to also. It's like Charlie's Angels out there. These beautiful ladies are just landing slap after slap on the Washington swamp's pork belly. Let's read on. President Trump has repeatedly referred to the Jan 6 defendants as political prisoners. Amen, brother. Did you hear President Trump, when he announced the bombing of the Iranian nuclear sites, say, God, we love you and we thank you. God bless the USA. God bless Israel. I just want to ask you, audience out there, when's the last time you heard an American president say, God, we love you? Anyone? Anyone? Any of you mocking frocks out there in the audience? Anyone? Bueller? What we need is another smart aleck to step up and tell us how Donald Trump isn't Christian enough. This article is hot breaking news, so it's a little bit nebulous, but let's read a little further. The prosecutors received termination letters signed by Bondi. I'll interject. I got a letter this week signed by the Salvadoran Secretary of Defense. I think I'll keep its contents to myself for now. Before we return to Carrie Lake, I just want to bring one more lady in politics into the equation, my Iowa Senator Joni Ernst. Joni asked the voters of Iowa to send her to Washington to make them squeal. Now, do you know what that means? I'm going to just take a minute. I was hiking the volcano Chichontepeque with my native guide, Pedro Pablo, who didn't know how to use a compass, but he had one tattooed on his arm. He knew the trails by heart regardless and about everything that happened in the folds or the skirts of the volcano. This is one of the macheteros of whom I spoke. He carried his machete tucked into the straps of his hiking backpack. Sometimes from side to side, he bumped into my bare skin with the tip once, it's a miracle it didn't draw blood, or straight down between his shoulder blades shinobi style. Either way, he could get it with his right hand and unsheath it in an instant. I shouldn't say unsheath, he didn't have a sheath. He could draw it anyway, instantly, from either mode of carry, and one time he did that. He'd done this 20 or 30 times throughout the day, but this time he had a look on his face like, I'm gonna get you, sucker. One thing I wanted to prove or disprove up on that mountain is if there were, in fact, Mara gangster criminals hiding in that jungle that may have killed the professor. These rumors I was able to fortunately disprove. There was nobody up in that forest. So after hanging out with Pedro Pablo all day, seeing him reach for the machete was no big deal, but to see his eyes narrow when he did it was a real bother. That made my hair stand on end. That made me stabilize into a fighting stance, realizing that we may have to slug it out with some unseen adversary. What is it? I said. He responded, mountain chicken. I said, what are you talking about? He says, oh, there are little birds up here. We call them mountain chicken, and they're good to eat. One was right there. I almost got him. I said, you kill him with the machete? He says, yes, and I take them home and cook them for my children. He reholstered his blade, smiled, and asked me, where you come from? You don't have mountain chickens? No, we don't, I thought. We do, however, have mountain oysters, which brings me back to my senator, who grew up on a swine farm. A decorated soldadera lady soldier, Joni was asked about her qualifications. In a very accusatory, snarky, snooty manner, I might add. Did Joni talk about her schooling, her vast life experience? Did she talk about her illustrious military career? Not so much. She said, I have cut the balls off of so many hogs. I know how to make them squeal. I grew up castrating hogs. Right here, on a farm, in Iowa, in the pork state. You send me to Washington, I know how to make them squeal. Listen, this is the MAGA movement. This is the Republican base. This is the silent majority. We only eat egg MAGA muffins. Do you understand? This is what we do, is dismantle the illegal, overgrown, bloated, glutted, overfunded federal bureaucracy. It does not represent us in so many ways, and taxation without representation is one of the main reasons that King George had to go. But here we're being civilized, so we send these ladies to Washington. This is why Joni's in Washington, it's why Pam Bondi's in Washington, and it's why Carrie Lake is in Washington. To make them squeal, to cut out the fat, the pork, the un-American activities, and especially in Joni's case, we got an added bonus. She made the pedophiles squeal too. Much more on all that after a little more Dua Lipa.
Or I go Houdini, I come and I go. Prove you got the
for miles and miles as you climb the trails up the skirts of Chichontepeque. That's the double-headed San Vicente volcano mountain for you gringos. But that's only the last 500 years. From millennia before, in the Mayan language, they called it Chichontepeque, the mountain of the two big boobies. And just like our American Tetons, it was a steep and a slippery nipple. I was up there with no shelter doing the search, and inch after inch of monsoon rain on the steep, steep, and very slick slopes. But that was phase three of this search operation. Phase one was riding my motorcycle in a prayer ride all the way around the base of the volcano. 90 miles, 5 hours in the saddle on some very, very rough roads. Phase two was to hike to the summit with my guide Pedro Pablo. Of all the cool things a visitor to El Salvador can do, the list is topped by hiking a volcano, going on a tour of the coffee farms, and getting in a thermal hot spring. Geothermal energy generation is very big here, and there's a lot of volcanic activity. I didn't do any of those three things during my entire 6 months to the day in El Salvador, nor did I go visit a waterfall. I did surf a handful of times, although I failed in my big plan to eat tons of fish and surf every day. That is my new Holy Ghost revelation of a training regimen, which I will execute at some future date. This time around, in the search for Professor Kiki Peña, I did three of the big activities that I've been wanting to do. And in touring these coffee farms, I learned a lot about the rural people of El Salvador, about the macheteros who very much live by the sword. And I've got something very important to tell Carrie Lake about these people, so stay tuned. The first farm when you leave out of Agua Agria is Don Roberto's Finca El Zapote. Don Roberto owns a pretty big swath on the north side of Chichontepeque. It takes an hour or two to hike up out of it. He has a little mobile lumber mill, and he's involved in harvesting lumber out of the Chichontepeque forest as well as cultivating coffee and other crops. Don Roberto also is a rescuer. If a guy gets in trouble up on Chichontepeque, he's got a guy he can call. The Salvadoran community as a whole is really thinking about search and rescue after the disappearance of the beloved professor, someone who was an avid hiker and evidently knew the mountain very well. After Don Roberto's coffee plantation, on up the mountain is Don Cristian. Moving around the skirts, do you run into Finca Magdalena. That is where I ascended the base of the mountain by four-wheel drive for the actual search with the canine unit. But that was the third and final phase to date. On phase two, I explored the mountain on foot with Pedro Pablo. And I learned a great deal about the coffee culture and coffee farming and these tough little men, smaller than me and wirier yet, who work on the edges of the wildlands cultivating those coffee grains, coffee beans we love so much. And those guys just have a machete in their hand all day long. I really don't think that they sleep without it. They may have to defend themselves, you know. They don't walk back down the mountain hours and hours every day. They have little shacks up in the forest, up in the coffee fields. There they hang their hammocks, just like cowboys working days at a time out on the range. Just like pruning a grapevine, a coffee tree has to be cut back after every season. Thus, the root, being perennial, will continue to produce year after year. The shade trees also have to be thinned. The ideal ratio of shade to sun is 50-50. That's why Don Roberto harvests a little bit of lumber. You want your coffee to be shade grown, but if there's too much shade, it will sprout up so high you can't even pick the beans, wasting much of its vitality in the process. Returning to the skill of the machetero to cut the coffee tree back, they have to chop off the stalks an inch or more in diameter, and they do it swiftly with a left and a right stroke. They'll come into the coffee tree from the left side and then down nearly vertically. That severs the stem, of which there are generally two. That leaves the coffee stump a foot or two high, in their estimation, medio metro. Of all the shoots, two are chosen, the highest, straightest, and the strongest, and all the rest are pruned. Don Roberto's farm is named for a fruit that grows on that mountain called El Zapote. I didn't try any of that, but there's other things that grow, and the macheteros will just knock one raw off with the tip of their machete. Coconuts, bananas, mangoes, and oranges all grow there, and I saw Pedro Pablo Pablo grab an orange with his left hand, sever it with the right, and very quickly twist it under the blade of his machete as he peeled the entire thing conically. Maybe you'd say concentrically. It was like an 1800s pioneer grandma peeling an apple for the pie filling. But Pedro Pablo didn't peel it with his jackknife. He peeled it with his machete. This is a guy who's out there in the wilds every day, like great-granddad with his shotgun cocked, living by the sword. He's got his hammock, he's got his machete, and very little else. You know what else they got up there? Little bitty radio sets. They're so cheap, 10, 15 bucks. And he can pick up AM radio as well as FM. But most all of those radios have a third band. Short wave. Onda corta. There's no power up there. There's no internet. A lot of the guys do have cell phones, but they're not listening to Spotify. Those little radios have a solar cell on them. It charges from the sun, which there's plenty of. The sun is in the northern part of the sky nearly all day in this tail part of June. Another thing that was weird for me. But there's plenty of it to charge their little radio so that they can listen on shortwave to the Voice of America or to the Living by the Sword show. I have to say I was shocked during Carrie Lake's 3-hour hearing, more than 3 hours, that there was no mention of shortwave radio. Obscure broadcasters like myself have labored. Station owners have dumped their fortunes by the millions into keeping shortwave radio alive just for this very time, so that we could speak to the people of Venezuela, of Bolivia, of communist Brazil. There are more than 300 million Brazilians, and they have lived under a free government. They do not like communism. Their election was stolen just as sure as Donald Trump and Carrie Lake's. They know their telephone's being monitored, but they can get under the covers at night, get out their plastic radio, and anonymously listen to Voice of America or Living by the Sword on shortwave radio. I hope that we'll fill those airwaves. When Voice of America was founded, when the BBC was founded, it was exclusively shortwave to broadcast into closed nations. Director Lake suggested Starlink, which is very good for a number of things, but you see it's completely out of reach of the coffee farmers. All we have to do is crank up the transmitters that still exist. So what is the future of the Voice of America? It is the same as the past of Voice of America before it was overrun by communist infiltrators. Taking it back to shortwave radio, that is how you reach the world, especially the struggling parts of the world, especially the captive parts of the world, especially the impoverished parts of the world where people are out there making a living by the sword day by day in an austere environment. Carrie Lake was right. 1990s-esque TV programs are not effective at reaching those people, but shortwave is. One more thing, the translation capacity of the Voice of America is very worthwhile if all of those translators are not completely pickled in the brine of Marxist ideology that's become so prevalent at Voice of America. As a preacher, I'll tell you that a corrupt translator can ruin your entire mission trip. They can make absolutely certain that key points are lost in translation. A good translator, however, will communicate the message with its original emphasis and intent. The director felt that the Persian team did an excellent job of this when President Trump spoke to the people of Iran. He spoke in English, but the message was translated in live time into Farsi. That linguistic capacity could be used to take a show like Living by the Sword to a much wider audience around the world, although some of my jokes would be surely lost in translation. Listen, Director Lake, you Lancer, you. Let's bring back shortwave radio. This is how we reach those nations. Those of us who are in shortwave radio, broadcasting on it, keeping the stations up, we have preserved this powerful capacity within our nation for such a time as this. We have kept the coal burning. We have kept the seed alive. We are the real Voice of America. Just give us the translators and give us the wattage to reach around the world.
I've always been the one to say the first goodbye. Had to love and lose 100 million times. Had to get it wrong to know just what I like. Now I'm falling. You say my name like I have never heard before. I'm indecisive, but this time I know for said hello. I knew that was the end of it all. I should have stayed at home, 'cause now there ain't no letting you go. Am I falling in love with the one that could break my heart? Oh no, I was doing better alone. But when you said hello, I knew that was the end of it all. I should have stayed at home, 'cause now there ain't no letting you go. Am I falling in love with the one that could break my heart? I wonder when you go if I stay on your mind. Two can play that game, but you win me every time. Everyone before you was a waste of time. Hey, you got me. Center of attention, you know you can get whatever you want from me. Whenever you want it, baby. It's you in my reflection. I'm afraid of all the things it could do.
Wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad, pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges," in 1 Corinthians 9:7, the apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world? Or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something. Someday very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans preferred.
Our nuclear installations have been badly damaged, that's for sure, because it has come under repeated attacks by Israeli and American aggressors.
There you have it, right from the proverbial camel's mouth. That was Ismail Baghi, spokesman for Iran's foreign ministry. Their nuclear program has been badly damaged. Heavy bombardment, baby. Heavy bombardment. Hey, I love the jet jockeys. I love the fast-moving flyboys. Fighter squadrons and carrier squadrons and Top Gun. I mean, what's cooler than all of that? Well, I think what's cooler than that is when they pave the way, when they link elbows, when they make an area safe for the heavies to come in and bat clean up. And clean up they did. I mean, right there you have it from the Iranians. After CNN and all the fake news in the USA and abroad made fun of Trump and made fun of the U.S. airstrike on the Iranian nuclear facilities, right there, they admit they've been badly damaged, badly damaged. Bagpipes from Baghdad, when will it ever cease? Hey, we're back. This is the Living by the Sword show with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, broadcasting from San Salvador, El Salvador. We are broadcasting on WBCQ 7.490 megahertz high frequency radio and WRMI 9.955 megahertz. I got a few verses I want to share about when Israel was a young nation, when they were in a weak and vulnerable state, not too different from today. If you just look at the map and how Israel's a tiny sliver of land right now and surrounded by these huge enemies, like, just for example, Egypt. Solomon reigned over much of what's Egypt today. But Solomon's reign was Israel's height as an imperial power. David took that over before him and conquered many of those enemies round about. And this is before that, when David was just a youngster and Saul was king, the first king of Israel. So what I want to share out of 1 Samuel 18 is David behaving himself wisely as a warrior and Saul telling him to be brave and to fight the Lord's battles. What? You say the Lord actually needs people to go out and fight his battles and establish his kingdom in the earth? Yes, it was that way in the Old Testament, and the scripture's very clear that this is the end of the age as well. Let's read. This is 18:14, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. That's great advice for a young warrior or a young jet jockey out there flying around fighting the Lord's battles in the earth. I got news for you. We're going to lose a tanker someday because we got devil-worshipping U.S. chaplains up on those flying around. Some. So be forewarned, America and world, when that tragedy happens and the U.S. loses a tanker in a huge ball of flame, that there are some who, like Saul, have departed from the Lord and have not, like David, behaved themselves wisely to fight the Lord's battles. Let's read here in verse 17 where Saul gives David the golden ticket to marry into the royal family. He later describes himself as a poor man from a poor family in Israel that's lightly esteemed. But let's read this in verse 17. And Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles." I would just like to say this to the whole world right now. Be thou valiant and fight the Lord's battles. Establish the Lord's kingdom in the earth. Lock horns with the devil worshippers. Do not allow them to rule over you and your family and your little ones. David's behavior is here again in verse 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he, David, behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. There's a whole rising wave within the conservative movement, a new wave of hatred and backbiting and back talk about Trump. Oh, he's not this and he's not that and he's not doing this. Well, guess what? You as a small person and lightly esteemed can behave yourself wisely and overcome even that. But a lot of that's just smack talk. Trump, Trump, Trump. Trump is kicking butt all around the world.
Shine. 'Cause every romance shakes and it bends. Don't give a damn. talking about heavy bikes, sir. This is heavy bike. Fender Rhodes is a... I'm a goddamn American icon.
So sorry, sir. I tried to stop him.
Not your fault, sweetheart. You can't stop a man who jumped 36 Greyhounds in the end.
It's all right, Lucio. Mr. Bank,
listen, all due respect, sir. You got a job tomorrow running this place. You go to work every day.
Oh, yawn. I make one phone call. I get Sean White, Travis Pastrana, five of their buddies here before midnight, doing heel clickers and lazy boys up the back of the building.
Yes. If your audience wants to see a bunch of long hairs riding rice rockets, but I'm talking about heavy bike, sir. This is heavy bike.
That was Golden Globe winner Don Cheadle as Basher opposite Al Pacino in Ocean's 13 from 2007. The mentioned motorcycle jumpers, Travis Pastrana and Sean White, had just revolutionized the motorcycle jumping world. They took it to an entirely new level, just like gymnast Nadia Comaneci did back in her era. All other gymnasts had to rise to the occasion. So Don Cheadle as Basher is playing yet another fictitious character, the motorcycle jumper Fender Banks. The GD American icon who's jumped to Harley Davidson over, what did he say, 34 Greyhound buses end to end. I want you to hear Fender Banks' argument that is cool as Iceman and Maverick are. As many generations as those cool cats have brought in to fight the Lord's battles, there is still nothing like heavy bombardment. Arc light, baby. It'll suck the air right out of your lungs. The GBU-34 is designed to kill with an overpressure wave. There's just nothing like taking a heavy payload all the way across the world, across the continent, to the enemy capital. Really, the Flyboys of Whitman, I think I owe you a case of beer for that one. Or at least some Salvadoran cigars and a slippery nipple recipe. You know, since I was up on the slippery Teton, my goodness, you talk about cliffs, and above the cliff is this sharp, sharp incline as it's raining and cats and dogs and the mud is just slipping off of it. It was a dangerous place to be, I tell you. I couldn't help but console myself with the thought, if I ever get out of this, I'm going to bust out the butterscotch schnapps and drop a few slippery nipples. So I looked up the recipe for you here. Half Bailey's, half butterscotch schnapps. Now, that's a classic slippery nipple. This recipe actually calls for Sambuca in place of the butterscotch schnapps. You're going to want to start with a tall shot glass, a 2 ounce or at least a jigger. Then, 50-50. The Bailey's goes last, so that'll sit on top. You really want the two liquids to not mix. This is an easy cocktail to make. No shaker, no mixer. Just a steady hand, like any good tagalier. Whichever you choose first, the Sambuca or the butterscotch schnapps, that goes in the bottom of the glass. Then your Bailey's poured evenly and slowly to prevent mixology. Customary garnish is a small dollop of whipped cream and a maraschino cherry. I think celebration is in order, although I may have to go back up atop the slippery nipple. And the Flyboys may have to go back. The fragile Iran-Israel ceasefire is holding at the time of this recording. But Trump made clear at the European NATO summit over the weekend that in the event that the Iranians get skippy, that they attack our bases or continue to talk smack, that the Flyboys will go back. He said it'll be much easier next time, and it will be much easier to climb the slippery Chichontepeque volcano and search a new sector for the missing Professor Kiki Peña. The hard work has been done. We really only searched 1% of that vast mountain wilderness. After not seeing, hearing, or even Logan smelling another person for 2 days, we began to come down the mountain where there were some little huts inhabited by the coffee farmers and by homesteaders, because this nation is developing as we speak. Logan would just stop where the path forked off to their little house, and it's really funny how he does it. He'd actually motion with his head like a human would do. Hey, over there. Hey, there's people over there. I said, Logan, I know, people live up here. At least they do in those lower folds or lower skirts of the volcano. My final thought on heavy bombardment tonight, do you know what their preferred call sign is as they take off and head out west? For heavy bombers, heavy transports, and heavy tankers. they often use the call sign Gunslinger. Here's the beautiful English Albanian Dua Lipa. I first saw Dua Lipa on the big screen. She not only sings, but she's a tremendous dancer and has a phenomenal choreographed team, always. She was so hot, I thought, she has to be Latina. There's my prejudice for you. It's just interesting to me that the Albanian language broadcast question came up repeatedly in Carrie Lake's congressional committee hearing. They asked her this gotcha question about, do you know what language they speak in Albania? It's a beautiful language, she replied. I've heard it spoken and we do broadcast it, although it is not one of the dated languages. The inquisitor responded then, it's Albanian. A lot of people don't know that the Berlin Wall had just come down and the European Union's push, the Antichrist push into the Balkans was led by 400,000 ethnic Albanians that had been living in Germany. That cascaded into Kosovo, Serbia, Montenegro, further and further conflict as NATO pushed further and further east, culminating in the Ukrainian debacle that we have today. It all began with Albanians. Maybe we should have just reached out to them in their own language on shortwave instead of sending our armies, because looking back, I think we were on the wrong side of that one. When asked about a VOA grantee's Mandarin broadcasts, Carrie responded, this is interesting, she used the word duplicitous, which is not a word. Maybe it was purposeful, but what she was saying was that there was a duplication, and what the grantee was being paid huge amounts of money, you know, millions to do, putting out broadcasts in Mandarin is something that VOA was already doing in-house. So because of that duplication, the same money was being spent twice. So yeah, duplicitous is not a word, but duplicitous is. And while it's has its same root in duplication, doublespeak. That's what it really means. It refers to doublespeak. It refers to saying one thing and having yet another purpose, generally an opposite one. And Kerry represented very well that this is the problem with the voice of America in the Biden iteration. And as it currently stands, is so many un-American activities were being funded out of it, just like USAID, that perhaps the whole thing needs to be scrapped. All I say is, Kerry, please save shortwave. We need it. And you know what else? There's something that I need. I have to go back to the USA because there's a missing piece. There's a missing ingredient. I'm able to level the playing field, level the battlefield like my forebears and the flyboys of heavy bombardment. I can level the job site and lay the foundation as a master builder. But you can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. There comes a point where there have to be some freckles in the Hadron Collider, or you're just not going to get the ignition that you need. The angel told me that before I began my long years of exile, and I really believe that my solo work is done. The fields are plowed, the soil is weed-free, and it's time for the spark of a seed. It's a beautiful thing to create life. It's God's gift to femininity. But what when a Jillaroo's been jilted and jaded, when she's decided to isolate herself, when she's set boundaries, when she's made rules? They also can build bulwarks and tunnel into trenches. Dua Lipa tells us all about it.
Talking in my sleep at night, making myself crazy.
Out of my mind, out of my mind.
Wrote it down and read it out, hoping it would save me. Like nobody else, nobody else. But my love, he doesn't love me. So I tell myself, I tell myself. One, don't pick up the phone. You know he's only calling cause he's drunk and alone. Two, don't let him in. You have to kick him out again. Three, don't be his friend. You know you're gonna wake up in his bed in the morning. And if you're under him, I got no rules, I count them. I got no rules, I count 'em.
Director Lake's reply was, Albanian is not one of our mandated languages. The record skipped as I was trying to say that. I guess I'll spend my last minute on the big, beautiful bill. There's still four Republican holdouts. Do you know what Elon Musk's big whiny gripe was over? $300 billion worth of deficit spending annually. That's it. It's a drop in the bucket. And do you know when he decided he'd sling mud at the great Donald Trump, his stock went down by about that much in a single day? That's a lesson that ought to be learned by the likes of Tucker Carlson, who's tampering with a dangerous mix of isolationism and anti-Semitism. Our oceans will no longer protect us from belligerent foreign powers with weapons of mass destruction. The main holdout's libertarian Rand Paul. Trump asked, what's wrong with this guy? What's wrong with him is that he lost the will to fight after his liberal neighbor beat his ass and broke all his ribs. He who watches the wind will not plant, Ecclesiastes says. You can't waste the whole growing season because the conditions are imperfect. Every gospel gunslinger knows this, just like every one of us knows, that anyone who does not see themselves as an integrante, a member of the armies of Israel, is ignorant of the Bible. Do not go and isolate yourself like a jilted Jillaroo.
Hey.
Yo, what's
hey,
good?
Hey, beautiful.
Oh, short stuff,
nice. I apologize together. I know I fucked up.
I just hope that you want to spend more time.
What I called to say really is, I...
a circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
This has been the Living by the Sword radio program with Pastor Samuel Honnold, GospelGunslingers.com.